2 Timothy tonight, if you would please, 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to the last chapter, 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to the last chapter. Chapter number 4. I've got a question for you. If you're not in heaven, where will you be in 20 years? And my main thought with that is, will you be faithful to God then? And I find my own experience, and certainly the experience of many others, that folks last a while and then they're gone. And the things of the world take over and so forth. That's not what God intends. And I want us to read tonight about a fellow. He wrote this under inspiration, and God gave him these words. And it's interesting how God, in authoring the Bible, took men and used their personality and some of their own history in giving us the Word of God. It's just fascinating. And so we're looking here at the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy. And Timothy's his preacher boy, and he's writing to him and giving him instructions. And we call this 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, we call them pastoral epistles. And they were written, I believe, primarily with a pastor in mind, and all of us can gain, but just some things that are here that Paul wrote that are so marvelous and so helpful. So chapter 4, and let's start in verse 1 and just read down a ways. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. By the way, you who teach, you who are parents, you can take that and apply it in your life. And understand that when you're teaching, when you're preaching to your kids, whatever it might be, I like that word long-suffering. I mean, you got to keep at it and keep at it. Not stop somewhere in the middle. And be consistent. And I like that God uses the word long-suffering instead of the word patience. He goes on and says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Let me put a little parenthesis here right now. When I look at this verse, it's always kind of puzzled me. What is it trying to say? Until I got a picture of a dog who wants his ears scratched. I have one like that. And no doubt if you have a dog, they love getting their ears scratched, don't they? And that's kind of what I see here. Heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. If I have several family members at my house, my dog will go from one to the other to the other, wanting the same thing out of each one of them. And so I see that in that verse. It goes on and says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight that we have this marvelous book we call the Bible. We thank you that we have Thus Saith the Lord. We're glad that we're not like the evolutionists who, as they read their main textbook, as he says, we suppose that. Lord, how thankful we are that we can hear from you and allow you to speak to our hearts. And oh, Spirit of God, we need that tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice particularly tonight verse number 7. Verse number 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, I must warn you tonight, this message is not politically correct. And what I'm going to deal with here tonight was okay until January 6th. And now it's not politically correct to use the word fight. But Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What will you say when you come to that spot in life where your departure is at hand, as he says in verse number 6? Will you be able to say, I fought a good fight? Now, fighting, I believe, as we look at that, can take on two connotations. Could we not say there's good fighting and bad fighting? I would recognize bad fighting as that which is seeking for ourselves. When you go back to the book of Proverbs, it says in chapter 10, 13, verse 10, it says, only by pride cometh contention. Of course, contention is fightings. And it's only through this thing of pride, where we have an elevated opinion of ourselves, a seeking for self as opposed to seeking for God. And as a result of that kind of thinking, we find ourselves fighting for our own selves rather than for the marvelous things of God, which Paul is talking about when he says, I have fought a good fight. And of course, this word is talking about it's a struggle. It's talking about the fact that it's not easy. It's talking about, listen, in a fight, you're going to get hurt. There's a price to pay. It's difficult. And yet he says, I have fought a good fight. It was good because he is seeking the truth of God. He's seeking for the righteousness of God. He's seeking for right living, right actions, right mindset, and so forth in the people with whom he had to do. I fought a good fight. I don't know what you tires you out. I'm sure if we went around the room, you could say a number of different things. When I started the church, I worked for a truck lines, and I put in 8 to 10 hours a night, and I had to move. Well, they wanted to do it. I did it about 5,000 pounds an hour by hand, and in the summertime, I'd drink 2 gallons of tea and go to the water fountain quite often because I just had sweat pouring off of me, and you know, that was hard work. But I learned something very early on. Even with that job, even those early days, even without the study and so forth that I put into it today, standing up in the pulpit and preaching for 20, 30, 40 minutes wore me out physically more than all of that kind of work. There's just something about it because you have so much intensity involved. I don't know what always shows, but I know what I feel on the inside. And so Paul, he comes and says, I've fought a good fight. I've sought the best for those who are around about me. I've sought for God to be glorified by my life. And I have fought hard in this area, seeking that to take place. He then says, I have finished my course. Now that's interesting. I have finished my course. And I believe what he's referring to here is he was fighting to the very end. Many, many people are involved in God's work and then they disappear. There for a time and then gone. But here we find the Apostle Paul talking about, I have finished my course. I've stuck with it. I've kept at it until it was finished. You know, if you go to school and you don't do all the work, you don't finish the course and you don't get a grade. Isn't that true? And I think we can kind of apply that in this case. And so as I've finished my course, I've done all that which God has wanted me to do. Now here's something that's marvelous. God in his wisdom has a direction and a work for each and every one of us. You folks have tremendous skill sets. There's things that you can do I can't even think about doing. And I marvel at those things. And praise God for those things. And so we have these different abilities, and God puts us in different places and different positions to accomplish things for the Lord Jesus Christ. And how marvelous that is when we are folks who recognize that and stick to it and accomplish the course that God has laid out for us. I love what it says there. And then he says in this verse, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. When you go back to verse number 4, we find that it says, they were turning from the truth. We go back to verse number 3, and we find there, basically, they wanted their lust to be approved. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, listen, that's not what it's been about for me. I have kept the faith. What's it mean to keep the faith? We think about faith, and a lot of times folks say they get this strange idea, but faith is simply believing what somebody said. I've heard people say, well, keep the faith, baby. What do you mean, keep the faith? Well, just believe. Well, believe what? Well, just believe. Well, believe who? You see, if we're going to believe, there must be something to believe. Amen? And God has given us a truth, the Word of God, to believe. And so he says, I've kept that. The Lord has shown me, I have believed it, and I have guarded that. And I can pass that on to those around about me. So what did he say? He said, I have a good fight. I fought a good fight. It's been difficult. The Apostle Paul, when he went into a town, many times he would end up in the jailhouse. On one occasion, they dragged him outside of the city and they stoned him. And we kind of relate that, what tells us in 1 Corinthians, he perhaps actually died and God brought life back into him. We find he talks about he was shipwrecked. We find that he was destitute on so many occasions. Matter of fact, in this chapter in verse number 13, I mean, he's writing, he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. I need my coat. And Paul had a lot of areas like that, but yet he says, I have fought that good fight. And he kept it up until the end. He didn't quit in between. I had the privilege this week. I met him once before. Matter of fact, I was in his church in Lake Zurich, Illinois last year. Dr. Jim Scudder. His daddy pastored the church for many, many, many years. And came to a spot he just could not function in that capacity and turned it over to him and moved to Florida. And the church is, of course, up in Illinois. And Dr. Jim Scudder, tremendous fella. And they got a Bible college there, Day Spring Baptist Bible College. Matter of fact, when Dr. Stringer was here, you might remember he's the assistant there in that college. He's the vice president. And God's marvelously blessed. One of the things that he had with him was a DVD. And it was entitled Enduring to the End. And it was about his daddy. About how he was finishing strong and keeping at it. And though not in the ministry as he once was, still in the work of God. And so he says, I have finished my course. I've stayed on the path that is there. I have kept the faith. I know what I believe, and I have kept that. Here's a problem that I find amongst God's people oftentimes. We don't really know what we believe. A lot of folks say, well, that's what my preacher thinks. What do you think? You know, if you're going to grow in the Lord, the things that are taught in this pulpit need to enter into your soul, and it needs to reverberate in such a way that it becomes yours. You know what I'm trying to say? And that becomes you. And you're believing what God has said. Not what I've said, not what some teacher said. Today, so often, you throw a name out to everybody woos and wows, and they run off to this one, that, and the other one. I get calls once in a while. I tell Brother Steve this, and you get calls at your house trying to sell you stuff, don't you? Well, we get it at church too. And there these Christian ministries, and I probably ought to put quotations around that, they will call and they start dropping names. And many times it's somebody who's well known in the Christian circles. And it might be some CDs, it might be an online course, but they're saying, boy, you need to get this. You need to get involved in this thing. And my favorite answer, I've never heard anybody get too excited about it, but my favorite answer when they say that, and I almost remember the first time I did, I've said, listen, God didn't call him to pastor Open Door Baptist Church. He called me. And this guy's no greater or any better. He might sound better. He might know more. But we get so taken with personalities, don't we? It's crazy what's going on. But we just believe with God, believe what he has to say. And then I want you to notice verse number 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. So we got a good fight. We have a fight that goes to the end. It's a fight of faith. And God says he will reward it. Amen? God says he will reward it. Matter of fact, we find it. It talks about here a crown of righteousness. And we could go through the Word of God and we could look up the word crown. You might want to do that. And you begin to look and you'll find that there are 5 different crowns that God mentions that are for Christians and things that they do. Because God wants to reward. We're going to have, I believe, one of these days, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, my sins have already been judged. Has yours? Matter of fact, I've been judged uncondemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Amen? I put my faith and trust in him, and so I don't have that condemnation upon me. The judgment's already taken place. It's taken place in the person of Jesus Christ. This judgment that I'm speaking of, the judgment seat of Christ, is not for our redemption. It has nothing to do with that. And the way I like to look at it is, it's a reward ceremony. A reward ceremony. And it seems to me, and I the picture that comes to my mind is that the different things that we've done in this life and God's rewarding us for, and these crowns are given to us. And then I go to the book of Revelation, and I find the 24 elders who I think are representative of God's people, and they're throwing their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And I think to myself, what if I only have one? What if I don't have any? And Jesus comes by. And how we ought to be striving, working, loving, and letting God reward us one of these days. And after that reward, we can give it to the one who really deserves it. That's our Savior. Amen. Praise God for Him. It's actually the end of this message, but I do have a couple of things to mention. One of the things that I've been thinking about the last couple of days is how important it is who we are. Sometimes in the pulpit, it's easy to just preach on what you do. But what you do comes about as because of who you are. If you love Jesus, I don't have to stand here and try to encourage you to do right. You want to. I might need to encourage you in doing right because there's a lot of pitfalls. And so one of the great purposes for me behind this pulpit is try to help you to be the person God wants you to be. And I look at this tonight and I'm thinking, this is what God wants us to be. A people who believe Him and are fighting for Him. Amen? Let's pray tonight. Chad, you got a thing tonight? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for these verses, thank you for the example we have in the Apostle Paul. Lord, we know he was not perfect, but he didn't quit. And Lord, I pray that you just instill that within us. And though we make mistakes, though we mess up, though all these kinds of things, we thank you for the forgiveness there. We thank you for the strength you renew us with. And help us to keep on going strong for you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.